for being here. My son, who's learning by Rav Asher Yehli, told me that Rav Asher is saying he's here for an extra 15 minutes during Chanukah because you have to be extra Liman HaTorah during Chanukah, not less Liman HaTorah. We want to be victorious. Zaydin Biad Oiske Sarasecha, so we're here learning. Thank you very much for everyone for joining. So let's just get the backdrop. Let's get the scene over here. What's happening is the following thing. Yehuda is one of the Shifteka. His mother's name was Leah. And Leah had a son named Yehuda. Hashem Yehuda. He had a daughter-in-law named Tamar. Now, Tamar had somewhat of a tragic life. She was married twice. Both of her husbands died. Now, Yehuda didn't want that to happen a third time. He had a third son. He kind of like kept him in the wings and told Tamar, you just stay here and wait. And she was basically wearing, apparently there was some clothing that you would wear, widow clothing, which she wore. And that meant that she's not marrying anyone. Now, you have to understand things here. There's a lot of things that we like are beyond our comprehension. And they might sound a little bit odd, but there was like much more, you know, mystical, different, deep ideas happening. What she did is she took matters into her own hands. She got dressed up as a woman of the night, which is a woman of ill repute, a streetwalker. And somehow she managed to seduce, again, very complicated. We're not getting into these stories. But I can tell you that you have to be careful not to like to misread this. But she somehow seduced her father-in-law, Yehuda, into a relationship. Now, he didn't have money there, so she said, okay, give me something of yours. That's a personal item. And she took that as a barter for her services. Anyway, they had spent a night together. And then she went back. And he did not know this Yehuda. He did not know who he was spending the night with. It was his own daughter-in-law, who he's not married at the moment. But that's the person that he spent the night with. And she became pregnant. Now, this was considered to be an inappropriate thing to become pregnant if you're still wearing your mourning clothing or your widow clothing, and Yehuda wanted her to die. He said, take her out and kill her. Burn her. So she then said, I'd like to send to my father-in-law the following items, and whoever these items belong to, those are the ones, he is the father of this child. So she sent him a hint that he was the father of the child. He got the hint, and then he realized that there's something deeper happening here, and he said, okay, tzadka, mimeni, and then he didn't kill her. But she didn't just say straight out, I want you to know, you're the father of this child. She didn't do that. Why not? Chazal say from over here, noyach loy la'adam, sheyapil atzmoy l'kiv shana'esh. This, she was going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. He said, burn her! It's better she should do that. She did not want to embarrass him publicly. So therefore she said it in this remez way in order that he should not be publicly embarrassed, even though it was at the threat of her perhaps losing her life. Not only did she do that, but if the Shaila Torah, I think it's from Rav Diskin, I'm not sure. He says, if you look in the pasuk carefully, she said, the way he explains it is, she sent two shluchim. She sent one shliach, and she said, whoever this stuff belongs to is the father of this child. And then she sent another shliach with the items. Because if she would have sent them both together, when he would have looked, then the shliach would have realized what's going on, right? She would say to her, imagine someone comes and says, whoever this belongs to is the father of this child. And all of a sudden he turns red. You're like, okay, that's you. So instead, she broke up the shluchim like is this. So neither one of them actually was aware of the other person. And no one could understand what was happening other than her and her father-in-law, Yehuda and Tamar. And then, therefore, she saved him the embarrassment at the risk of her own life. Noyach loy la'adam. Sheyapil atzma l'kiv shona ish. Which means you should not embarrass someone. So we have to figure out is why are you not allowed to embarrass someone? Why are you not allowed to whiten someone's face? Yalvin Pnechavero means you whiten his face. Why can't you do that? What's the Isser Gnoi? What exactly is the isser of embarrassing someone? So it seems to be machlokes rishayim, which is going to be a very, very important thing, which is that the Sefer HaChinuch says that it's learnt out from the isser of aynas dvarim. There's an isser of the Torah of not speaking, saying something that's going to be hurtful to someone else. That's aynas dvarim. When you hurt someone's feelings by saying something, so embarrassing them, whether you do it with word or not with word, whatever it is, could also be included in that same idea of hurting someone's feelings. So says the Chinuch, that's why you're not allowed to be mal ben pnei chaveri. That's very nice. However, that would not explain to us why you have to allow yourself to be thrown in a furnace. Be thrown in a furnace means that your person is now going to be killed, it would appear like, at least. Tamar was at risk of being killed. You don't have to kill yourself. You only have to not kill yourself for three averas that we know of. There are three cardinal sins. Does anyone know what they are? And those three, a person has to make sure not to transgress, even at the cost of his own life. And they are, number one, Avodah Zarah. Another one, Shfichas Damim. Third one, Gilui Arayos. None of those is embarrassing your friend. Embarrassing your friend, you don't have to die in order not to embarrass your friend. So why was Tamar willing to allow herself to be thrown into a furnace? So we can take a very easy route. It's very, very creative. However, the Tor and the Sefer Moshe of Zakenim in the name of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid say that when Yehuda said take her out and burn her, Yehuda did not mean burn her to death. He didn't mean put her on a stake and burn her on the stake. It meant take something hot and brand her on her forehead, which is something, by the way, was done in previous cultures, which is that you kind of like you scar someone in order that they should that should be like an embarrassment for them. That's what it meant. Take her out and burn her. It meant give her a burn. Didn't mean burn her to death. That's what he says. Pshat. So therefore, Tamar was not really at risk for her life, according to this pshat. No one was going to kill her. You know, wasn't going to kill her. Yehuda was just going to give her a burn. Okay, so this she was willing to instead risk getting a burn and not embarrass someone. That could be understood. However, most Mefarshim learned not like that. She was going to be burnt to death. She was getting a din of a bas koyin. She was going to get sreifa. This is like it says, Noach la'adam she'apel atzma l'kibshan eish, be dropped into a furnace. That's what was going to happen to her. So why should she do that? So here comes. So comes along the Me'iri and says the Me'iri, you know, when the Gemara says, Gemara is just kind of like it's sometimes derech guzma. It's derech tzachos, derech guzma. What does that mean? That means that sometimes it's a little bit dramatic. It doesn't really mean that you're not obligated to do this. You don't have to kill yourself not to embarrass someone. That's what the Miri says. It just means that the Gemara sometimes uses, whenever the Gemara uses noyach loy, it just means it's like, it doesn't mean it's a mitzvah or an aveira. It doesn't say chayiv adam lahapel atzmo l'kivshan eish. Noyach loy just means it's a nice thing, it's a good thing. It's coming to show that a person should have good priorities. It should be that you're going to go to the furthest end of the world, to the furthest extent, not to embarrass someone. That's all it means. But you're not mechuyev, says the Me'iri. Okay, that's one mahalach. However, on the other hand, there seem to be rishonim that say that a person is mechuyev not to allow to embarrass someone at the cost, expense of his life. We have it in the Tosfos and Soita, where Tosfos asks the question, why does we only list three things, Yaharik Val Yavor, Gilarai Shvichas Dam and Avodah Zarah, that we just mentioned? There should be a fourth. What's the fourth? Embarrassing your friend. What do we see from Tosfos? It sounds like Tosfos is taking this literally. Literally, you are not allowed to embarrass your friend, even if it's going to be at the expense of your own life, which seems to be the story that was happening with Yehuda and Tamar. She gave up her life. And also, it's mashma that way from Rabbeinu Yoina in Sha'arei Tshuva, where he says that this is like avuzrayu. Now, this is an important detail which people should know, which is that you're not only chayiv yoharig val yavar for the big averas, anything that's even like a part of the avera, even that's avuzrayu da avodah zara, anything that's even like a subcategory of avodah zara, ziharik valyavar. Anything that's a subcategory of gilui arayos. For example, the Gemara in Makkah says that a person, if he talks to a girl, is ziharik valyavar. Even just talking to her, the Gemara says. A besula. Talking about a regular girl, not even a shazish, the Gemara says. Yaharik valyavar. Not going to go into all the details about it. Can't look at her, you can't talk to her. None of that, the Gemara says. It's Abuzrayu Digili Arayas, it's Yaharik valyavar. So says, apparently Rabbeinu Yoina, this is like killing someone. It's not killing him, but it's kind of like, you know what, you know, if I remember correctly, Rabbi Goldberg, you can tell me if I'm right. He says that what happens when a person's face turns white is the blood drains. His blood drains. You're basically draining his blood. That's like killing him, right? How does a person die? Well, the blood leaves his body, leaves his whatever. He doesn't have any more blood in his heart or whatever. So when a person gets embarrassed, his blood drains from his face. That's avuzrayu dishvichas domin. It's like you're killing him. And that's yaharik valyavar. You didn't kill him. But it's kind of like killing him. Therefore, it's yaharik valyavar. So, okay, but according to Rabbeinu Yoina, we'll have an answer to his question. Tosis asks, why does it only say three? It should say four, according to Rabbeinu Yoina. What's the answer to that question? Because embarrassing your friend is not its own category. Embarrassing your friend is nichlal in the category of shvichas damim. It's another form of murder. Okay, it's not full-fledged murder, but it's something enough that a person should be yaharik valyavar for that. Yeah. The Shla brings down, very interesting, that he brings over here the following thing. There's a machloikis in the Midrashim. The case is that Yosef HaTzadik is about to reveal himself to his brothers, that he is the one that they sold down the Nile. He's the one that stabbed in the back, but that they betrayed. And Yosef was about to reveal that to his brothers. Now what he did was, he told everyone else to get out of the room. There's no one else there. It's him and his 11 brothers. Right? There were 11 there? Binyamin?
Shim was still locked up, no?
Shim was still locked up.
He was brought out already? I'm not sure.
Shim was brought out already, no? Okay, a lot of brothers, okay? It's one against many. And one of those is Yehuda. Big strong guy. Akitzer, Yosef is there alone. Now what happens if he tells them, I'm Yosef? Well, they already sold him once, threw him into a pit. They might just, you know, just attack him. There's a gang here. They could kill him again. So why didn't Yosef keep anyone in the room with him when he revealed himself to his brothers? One Medrash says, Yosef said the following thing. Even if they kill me, I'm not willing to embarrass my brothers. I won't do it. So no one else is going to be in the room. And he risked his life. Similar to the story of Yehuda and Tamar. She risked her life. He risked his life. That's one medrash.
Shem was there,
right? Yeah, they brought him right when they came back. They brought him. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's 11 against 1. It's 11 against 2. Because I guess Binyamin's probably going to be on his side. But whatever. Still, it's not going to be, the odds are definitely against him. That's what the Medrash says. The other Medrash says that Yehuda says, I know my brothers, they're not going to do it to me. It sounds like from the other Medrash that if he would have been afraid for his life, he wouldn't have done it. I'm going to embarrass them. Okay, not at the risk of my life. So what we're discussing seems to be a machloikis in the Midrashim. And perhaps the machloikis depends on the makar, why are you not allowed to embarrass someone? If it's just a lav in the Torah of Oinos Dvarim, it's not Yarek Balyavar. If it's learned out as Avuzrayu de Shvichas Domim, if you're saying it's a subcategory of Shvichas Domim, it will have a din of Yarek Balyavar. And Lechoira, that is going to be the machloikis that we have over here. Now, Rabbi Yoshua Leib Diskin was asked a question. He was asked, this question of, is Yaharik Valyavar? And he came up with a very, very compelling svara, simple svara. And he said, you know, why is it that there's a din Yaharik Valyavar? Why is there a din Yaharik Valyavar when it comes to Ritzicha? Someone says, either kill someone or I'll kill you. The Gemara says a svara. My chazis, didamach didach, sumak tvei. What gives you the right to assume that your blood is any redder than his blood. In other words, you got to kill him, or he'll kill you. So why should, who said you should live more than he should live? It's an amazing svara, if you think about it, because imagine if they're talking to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the Gadol Hadar, and says, okay, you have to go kill the uncle, the street cleaner. So the halach is he'd have to say, no, I'm not going to, don't kill me. What does that mean? Who said your blood is any redder? You're talking about Reb Chaim Kanievsky and your uncle, the street cleaner. What does that mean? But, okay, the Hashem loves each one of us as if we're his only child. It should be very encouraging for us that our blood is no less red. And every yid is precious. That precious, I'll call upon him. So, but it says, Rishulei Diskin, hold on a second. That only makes sense if one of them is going to die and the other one is going to die. So why is your blood any redder? But if one of them is just going to be like embarrassed a little bit, so the whole svara of Mechuzis doesn't apply. What is it? He says, listen, either embarrass him or I'll kill you. So I said, no, I can't embarrass him. Why not? Because who said my blood is any redder? His blood is not going to get spilled. He's going to stay alive. Of course, he'll be embarrassed. Maybe he'll have a head rush. The blood will be drained from his head or whatever. But it's still, you can't say the svara of Mechuzis, says Rabbi Yeshua Lev Diskin. So over there, for sure, I'm not obligated to kill myself. I'm not obligated. You want to be a big chassid? Maybe Tamar was doing a maisa chassidus. She was doing something that she wasn't obligated to do. But Tamar could have called Yehuda out at that moment and said, you and the father, even if it's going to embarrass him in public. It was not a problem. She chose not to do it because of, why?
Who said you could get killed by maisa chassidus?
We're going to get to that, I hope. I believe. Right now. This is Rabbi Edelman. A pleasure to have with us. So this is what Rabbi Shulei Diskin says. But Tysus is clearly not like that. He showed the Tysus. He was stunned, it seems like, by the Tysus. But he says, look, I'm sticking by my opinion. But it seems to be a machloikes, again, different opinions. We'll have to get back to Rabbi Shulei's kasha. But I think if I'm understanding correctly, comes along the Minchas Asher Weiss, and he asks, okay, if you're not obligated to give up your life, you're not allowed to give up your life. This is a major machlokes rishonim. Let's say someone, he's very into not talking during davening. It's his thing, he doesn't talk during davening. Okay? Someone says to him, either talk during davening, I'm gonna kill you. He's like, nope. I don't talk during davening. I don't do it. I'm not doing it. So, and the guy kills him. He gets up to Shemayim. Did they say, wow, what a tzaddik. Wow. Namish gave up his life for this. Or in Shemayim, they say, you're a meshugana. You're a loser. What are you doing? You talk once during davening. You could live and do all these other mitzvahs. What's wrong with you? That's a machlekes rishayim. It's a machlekes rishayim. Whether or not you're allowed to do it. So over here, the question is, the Maral Diskin writes that Tamar was hechmira al atzma kederach hachasidim. So then how could she do that? Shitas Tosfos and the Rosh is that it's mutter. However, the Rambam writes aser. It's damav v'roisha, I think is the lashon of the Rambam. He's considered to be as if he killed himself. You can't do that. So how did Tamar do that if she was not obligated? This was the question. So the Chayra, this machloikas rishonim that we have, it's going to have to depend. If you understand that maybe Tamar was obligated to do it, that's why she did it. Because according to the Tosfos, it seems to be clear, it's Yaharik Vali Avar. Say Nachanami. The Rambam is going to have to go like Tosfos. She was obligated to do it, and she did do it. Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, who's saying she wasn't obligated, Minas Chasidus is going to have to go like Tosfos. And this Tosfos is saying that if a person wants to be nice to Nefesh, they can, even though they're not obligated. And over here, for sure, it was a nice thing for her to do. She wasn't obligated. Because just to give up, you don't have to give up your life just for embarrassing someone. That appears to be the machloikis over here. Okay. So, I want to get back for a second to the question that the Yeshua Leib Diskin asked, which was that if in fact she was that where's the svara of machazis the damach didach sumach tve? So apparently, if you learn the sugya of Yorik Val Yafar, the fact that a person does not have has to give up his life for avodah zarah has nothing to do with blood being redder. The fact that a person has to give up his life for gili arayis has nothing to do with blood being redder. When we say that a person should give up his life for shvichas damim, so the Gemara does mention this svara, but does the Gemara really mean that it depends on the logic of this svara? And is this an exact logic, and that's the actual reason for Yarg Balyavar? Or is the Gemara just giving it, you know, some sort of understanding or a way to be able to relate to the fact that a person should not give up his life? But maybe that's not the actual reason for the Yarg Balyavar. Says Rav Asher Weiss, he has kama v'kama rayas, that really the din of Yarg Balyavar, even by Shvichas Damim, does not depend on the svara. It doesn't depend on the svara when it comes to gili arayis. It has nothing to do with anyone's blood being. This aveira is an aveira you have to give up your life for. Same thing is true when it comes to avodah zarah. It's interesting. The Maral points out these three aveiras, these three cardinal sins, each one is in its own category. In other words, we know there's mitzvahs bin adam lechaveroi. We know there's mitzvahs bin adam lemakoyim. And there's something that's called mitzvahs bin adam leatzmoi. It's very interesting. So what is the epitome of a transgression of bin adam lechaveroi? What would you say the epitome of a violation of bin adam lechaveroi would be?
Killing somebody.
That's about as far as you could violate that other person, his rights, is by killing him. What would you say is the epitome of a violation of your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Avodah Zarah. I'm in a different religion. What is the epitome of a violation of a person's relationship with himself? That is Gili Arayis, says the Maral. Because Gili Arayis is animalistic. You're acting like an animal. You don't have self-dignity. You have no self-respect. A person that has self-respect doesn't act like an animal. The reason the Soita's carbon that she brings is a minchas sa'irin, she brings barley, that's very rare, and the reason is because she did an animalistic thing, we treat her like an animal. That's what Gili Arayis is. Yeah, a person has to have a certain amount of self, I'm bigger than that, I'm above that. A person really appreciates himself, that is bin adam la'atzma. So these three cardinal sins are three different categories, and it happens to be the svar of my chazit damach nidach is a good way for us to wrap our head around it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the only reason. It's because we cannot transgress any of the three cardinal sins on their own. Now there's a very interesting thing here. With this we will soon end, which is as follows. The shaila was, like this. Yehuda wanted to kill Tamar. Yehuda wanted to kill Tamar, correct? We're assuming that he wanted to throw her into a furnace. Was she deserving of this punishment? Assuming for the moment she was not. So he was trying to kill her. What would be another description of someone who tries to kill someone else? What would be a word you would use for that? Another word? A roideif. Ritzeach roideif. What's the din when someone is rodef you and they want to kill you? Kill them back. So would Tamar have been allowed to kill Yehuda? Assumes the Reb Asher Weiss, yes. Tamar would have been allowed to kill, turn around and kill Yehuda because Yehuda was trying to kill her.
Then she surely could embarrass him.
So then for sure she could have embarrassed him. If she could kill him, she could embarrass him.
Would that have saved her life?
What?
Had she killed Yehuda?
Yeah.
Would she have been saved?
It's only a burn.
No, it's once everyone knew about it, it was too late already. Cat's out of the bag.
He passed him to kill her. Mm. So killing Rosh Bez is not going to get her out of Yehuda.
Yeah, but it could be by embarrassing if she would have. She was bringing to light the fact that it was him. So maybe you could say that was only a suffix that it would have saved her life. But she could have said it in front of everyone. Listen, you're the father. So don't start blaming me for this. That would have been a way in a Hanami to try to like just pull out a gun and shoot him. That probably would not have worked. No, but she would have had the license to do that. So she has the license to embarrassing. So why doesn't she embarrass him?
The embarrassing's worse.
What?
The embarrassing's worse.
Embarrassing's worse than killing someone. You're saying you're allowed to kill someone when someone else is coming to kill you. And Nachum is saying, I think a very big chiddush. Could be someone is coming. It could be someone's coming to kill you. You could kill them. You can't embarrass them.
Embarrassing extent that people
want to
die.
It could be.
They have to live the rest of their life with this.
With shame, living with shame. It's worse than dying. You die once. You live the rest of your life in shame. It could be. It's possible. Mm-hmm. I hear that. Okay, but I have a suffix if Yehuda's a roidef over here. I have a few reasons why I'm not sure, but this is we're going to close, my friends. Is Yehuda really a roidef? First of all, this is one shy which I have. Yehuda's a din roidef if Yehuda, I don't know, because is it Yesh Shliach Lidvar Aver? Yehuda wasn't going to kill her. He wasn't killing her.
Yesh Shliach Lidvar Aver is only when you know for sure that you're doing something wrong. Well, here he's doing it.
So I'm saying, I don't know Yesh Shliach by a Goy Lidvar Aver. I don't know. Yehuda wasn't killing her. Yehuda said, someone take her out and burn her. He wasn't burning her.
So, but they were listening to Divya Arav, and they kind of thought so. Usually the Swara, Yesh Shliach Lidvar Aver, is Divya Arav, Divya Talmud. Over here you have the Godel Ador, the Poisek Ador saying to do it.
Right.
So, you think it's Dvar Hashem, so Tak is the Yeshlich over there.
Okay, I hear that might depend. It might be depends on Machlokas Rishonim about how to understand what you're saying. At Kamas, they think what they're doing is a mitzvah,
right.
So therefore they don't know they're doing it. Like they're a shaygig on the avera, and therefore there wouldn't be shlich l'dvar avera. So therefore he has a din of a roidif. So I would say, even if you'd say Yeshlich l'dvar avera, maybe he has a din of a roitzeach. But the roidif is the one who's he's not running after her. There's an executioner. The executioner is killing her. He's back in his house. He's the Gadol Ador. He's sitting over there. So he's not the one who's right now pulling the trigger. There's going to be an executioner doing it. He has a din of a roidif. I'm not sure. He's not actually killing her. Does the din of roidif has to do with because I'm the orchestrator of this? But it could be yes. It's very interesting, Shiloh. I don't know that some of the greatest enemies of the Jewish people, I don't know if they ever, they ever got their hands dirty. But did they ever did right if they never killed anyone? I mean, they were orchestrating. What?
Why wouldn't they?
Because they never actually did anything. All they did is they delegated.
If it really be a shliach, then he would be a roidef. If the shliach would work, he would be considered a roidef.
I don't know if he's called a roidef or just a roitzeach. Roidef means I'm running after you to kill you. I'm not running after you to kill you. He's running after you to kill you. So he's doing. In other words, that's true. Shlichus just means that the maisa's messiah. I get the aveira, but I'm not actually doing it. The roidef is the person running after you right now. Unless that's enough because I'm the one who is orchestrating a redeemer. It could be that's enough to be considered a roidef.
Are you killing the roidef to save yourself? Or are you killing the roidef because he's...
Yeah, to save yourself.
So over here...
He's not the roidef.
Right, so then you won't be saving yourself.
No, she could save herself by doing this, but again, he's not... Because that's going to stop someone else from coming to get you. I'll give you an example. To get this as follows. Let's say someone is coming after me to kill me. Right? Or coming after someone to kill someone. And then he pulls out a gun and he shoots the person's grandmother. Now she's dead. He stops running after her because he's got to go save his grandmother's life. His grandmother's now dying. Or you pull out a gun and you say, if you come after me, I'm going to shoot your grandmother dead. So you stop the roidef that way. Your grandmother's not a roidef. So over here, he's the one that told Pliny to kill you. Okay, but Pliny's killing you. He thinks he's doing the right thing anyway. Yehuda thinks he's not. Yehuda doesn't know he's doing something wrong. Yehuda became the roidef. What did he do? As far as he's concerned, he's a dayan. And that's my other question. Let's say I'm in court, and let's say Adam say that Reuven was Machal Shabbos. He wasn't. But Adam say Reuven was Machal Shabbos. Is Reuven allowed to kill the dayan now? Like the dayan is, he's a roidef. I'm not Chayav Misa. Pulls out a gun, just shoots the entire bezdin and everything. He's like, I wasn't. You're all right, Vim. Is that the way it goes? Something sounds wrong over here, my friends. Something doesn't sound right. I can't imagine. A dayan ain la dayan ela mashein of rice. He's not doing anything wrong over here. He's pasken halacha. You got two eidim zaymimim walked in. They lied. They made up. Maybe I don't know. Maybe they're the right Vim. I don't even know if they're right. I don't know if anyone's a right if over here. You're in Beis Din. So to me, I have a hard time wrapping my head around how we can consider Yehuda a roidef. So therefore, I would say that she was not allowed to kill Yehuda, and therefore, she was my blatzmal kibshanesh. So just as a review as follows. We spoke about the fact that Tamar was at the great risk to her own life. She refused to embarrass her father-in-law, even though it was really her child. It was really his child. We said she even sent two shluchim in order to make it even more more hidden, that no one should know that he should have this embarrassment. Why? What's wrong with embarrassing someone? We said from the chinuch that it's an isser of einos dvarim. You're not allowed to say anything that's going to be hurtful. You're not allowed to embarrass someone. But that doesn't explain why she's going to have to kill herself for that. You don't have to kill yourself not to hurt someone's feelings. On the other hand, we said maybe it wasn't really kill. According to the Das Kain, it was just the burn, was just to put a burn, like perhaps give her like a scar, but it didn't mean to actually kill her. But it doesn't seem that way in the Mefarshim. So one pshat is, it's just a guzma ba'alma. You're not obligated to kill yourself. Noyach loy is a language that's used in Chazal, and they don't really mean it that seriously. They're just saying it. It's a little bit of a, perhaps an exaggeration, or you can if you want. It's a nice thing. You're not obligated. On the other hand, we have the other shitas, the shita of the Toisvis in Soita and the Rabbeinu Yoino, which seem to say that it's Yarg Val Yavar. Yeah, it's Yarg Val Yavar. Explain, according to Rabbeinu Yoino, it's Avuzrayu. It's like a subcategory of Misa, and therefore it's included in the Yarg Val Yavar. You said that might depend on the Machloikas in the Midrashim as to whether or not Yosef risked his life. If you say that Yosef risked his life, then apparently you have to risk your life, not to embarrass the brothers, not to embarrass, just like Tamar risked his life, not to embarrass Yehuda. Or Yosef knew that they weren't really going to do it, therefore he did not really risk his life. And then we spoke about the Shiloh of Rabbi Yeshua Lev Diskin, who said it can't be, because my chazis doesn't make any sense. We said, I don't know if you really need the svara of my chazis. I don't know that svara is really a binding svara in the practicality of Yehari Val Yavar, or maybe not. But then we said, if it's true that you're not mechuyev, then how could Tamar have done it? If you're not obligated to do it, according to the Rambam, you're not allowed to do it. If a person is not obligated to be Meiser Nefesh, then they're not allowed to be Meiser Nefesh. So we said the Chayra, that's going to depend on our same Achloikas. Was this obligated or was it not obligated? And the last thing we spoke about is, we said that the Shiloh was, what did Yehuda have a din Roidef for killing Tamar? The Dayan Weiss, or Basha Weiss, wants to suggest he had a din roidef, and therefore, if she's allowed to kill him, she's for sure allowed to embarrass him. We said it's not so clear. Rabbi Goldberg said, anyway, it's not going to help to kill him, that's true, but to help to embarrass him probably could be, it would, maybe it's only a suffix if it would have, but it could be, it would have helped. She should have been able to do that. And I'm saying, no, he has no din roidef. Yehuda did not have a din roidef for two reasons. First of all, he wasn't killing her, someone else was killing her. Second of all, he was just a Dayan. You can't just because, you know, there's something that the Dayan doesn't know about the facts, you can't just all of a sudden take the law into your own hands and kill the entire court just because they're going to mete out false justice. I might be wrong about that. You never know. Anyway, that's all for tonight, folks. Thank you very much for listening.